Me? Anyway, good morning. All right, we're just going to start with a bit of a recap before we get cracking into my part, because Caleb spoke a couple of weeks ago, then we had Tim Costello share last week, and then now it's my turn to share, and next week will be Leanne Tanner. But let's have a bit of a recap, particularly what Caleb introduced. All right, can you just make it just not do whatever it's doing? Out. In, out, in, out. Just, all right, are we all happy? We're settled? We're good to go? All right, let's crack on. So there is one person in my life. Can you just flip to that that sheepy story? Look at that little guy down the bottom. There's one person in my life that is ready to hear the good news about Jesus. Caleb shared particularly from Luke 15, where Jesus leaves the 99 and he is trying to reach the one, the outsider. And if we want to be a true follower of Jesus and partner with him to reach other people, which is one sign of a true follower of Jesus, we will position ourselves to help someone else who is in spiritual need. He talked about evangelism is actually favoritism. He focuses on the one, the priority of one, time and energy given to the one. Talked about a little bit about the party pooper versus the party planner, if you remember. Do we criticize, find fault? That's really important. Or do we celebrate and receive and embrace? Are we fat shepherds who don't really care about the lost sheep and just remain comfortable with the 99? Or do we exercise our faith and go out? These are some of the things that I picked up from both Tim and Caleb and the last two. Tim mentioned last week, this was particularly challenging to hear this actually. Tim mentioned that last week there are many Christians that are happy to get their ticket, their golden ticket into heaven, and rest on the laurels, meaning they are so satisfied with what they've already done or achieved that they make no further effort. But if we are going to be true followers of Jesus, and his way was to serve people, after all, he laid his life down for all people. If I think he wants me to follow his example and also serve some, if not some, at least one, what about you guys? I think one of the things I love about David so much was of the thousands of sheep entrusted into his care as a good shepherd, if one was attacked by a bear or a lion, he went after that bear or a lion. I think probably that's why David was known to be after God's own heart. He cared about the one of the thousands of sheep he could have had. If it was up to me, I would have counted all mine and go, it's a circle of life. He can have that one. You know, the bear's got to eat, lion's got to eat. But there's something on the inside of David that went after that one. Probably very different from how I would have been. And there's some of the things, and particularly the last thing I want to finish on in terms of the recap for what Caleb shared and Tim shared, was the incredible risk that Jesus took. You see, the 99, he had to risk that they would be okay, that they'll be fine. And he went after the one. Well, that was a great risk to take, really, when you think of it. What if the bear or the lion had come for those 99? And Jesus' heart was not for those. They were okay. They were protected. They were together. And I think that's important. They were together. The one that went away, the one that wandered, was the one that Jesus went after. But incredible risk. Today in my sermon, I want to kind of flip that risk around. Because yes, I think it is true. Jesus did risk leaving the 99, and there was a great risk. There was great courage to go after the one and trust that the 99 would be okay. But I want to kind of flip that a little bit today as we really continue our series on the one and getting a healthy and wholesome perspective on the one, but also a bit of a strategy. And I want to hope today that my message will give us a little bit of the healthy faith part of finding the one or going after the one, but also a bit of a strategy. But first of all, I want to just talk quickly around the Olympics. It's Olympics are on, funny enough, and I haven't been watching too much, but one of the races that I do love is the 100 and 200 metres. And this year, because that's my kind of gold medal for me. The rest is great. But so this year, the 100 was on before the 200, and there was a guy called Noah Lyle. And he's been kind of in the shadows for longer. His number one race is the 200 metres, but he won the 100 metres this year and the closest of finals since that Usain Bolt has retired from winning everything by 1,000 miles. This was a very, very close 100 metre final. But Noah Lyles, his signature race is the 200 metres. Now, 4 years ago at the 2020 Olympics, he was in that race. He was in the finals and came third. He won the bronze behind a Canadian guy and called Usain Bolt. This year, and anyway, the last time that he raced in the Olympics, it was the 2020 final, and that was the last time he lost. Every race in the 200 metres he's raced at national level and international level, Noah Lyles has won the 200 metres. Every run, every time he's run. And this year, without a doubt, he was going to be, particularly with his win in the 100 metres, he was a hands-down shoe-in for the 200. Everyone was talking about who was going to come second and third. Very determined, very focused, makes his way through the races up to the final. And guess what? Couple of days before, the day before, he gets COVID. Still runs and gets bronze. Like, what a disaster. Training that long, he's never lost since that last Olympics. He's never lost a 200 metres in every race he's run, and the day of or the day before he races his final in the 200, he gets COVID. Still runs an incredible race, ends up bronze. So he's got two bronzes. For me, I've been walking every morning. This is my personal Olympics. Every morning, I get up and I walk my 5 kilometres with my dog through rain, hail or shine, freezing cold. Today, I did a PB. Any cheers in there? Like, I did a PB. So, woo, 5Ks, and I did it just over 40 minutes. But what happens is, I go there every day and I try and beat my previous time. So I'm determined, I'm focused. But sometimes when I'm walking with my dog and I'm on a PB, particularly when I'm doing really well and I'm going for a bit of a record, there'll be somebody that I see, somebody that I notice, and I've got a decision to make. Does the personal record, my personal best, trump the fact that this person that I've seen and noticed, that I've been connecting with and relating with, what's going to win out? Am I going to stop and talk to them? Very determined, very focused. I'm going for a PB here. Do I pretend that I don't see them? Do I pretend that I don't notice them when I know that I have? It's a dilemma. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You're on mission, you're on assignment, you're doing something, you don't have any time to muck around, and I want to get the PB, and the person is there, usually in the garden. Do I stop and talk to them? That's going to kind of frame today's passage as we move into the story of a woman. Jesus began travelling with Jairus towards his home, and the crowd pressing about Jesus. There was a woman who had suffered continuous bleeding for 12 years, bleeding that made her ritually unclean and an outcast according to the purity laws. She had suffered greatly, and although she had spent all her money on medical care, she had only gotten worse. She was hopeless. Things were drastic. Dire, depressed. She had heard about this miracle man, Jesus. So she snuck up behind him in the crowd and reached out her hand to touch the cloak. The woman thought to herself, even if I can touch the clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her fingers brushed his cloak, the bleeding stopped, and she felt that she was whole once again. Lots of people were pressing in. They were buffeting Jesus. They were touching him everywhere. He was trying to make his way through to Jairus. He was on assignment. He was on mission. And lots of people were pressing in against Jesus at that moment. But he immediately felt her touch. There was a moment that Jesus realized something had just happened. He felt healing power flow out of him. He stopped. Everyone stopped. He looked around for the one. Who just touched my clothes, my robe? His disciples broke the uneasy silence and said, Jesus, the crowd is so thick that everyone is actually touching you. Why do you ask who touched you? But Jesus waited. He kept looking. His gaze swept across the crowd to see who had done it. And at last, the woman, knowing he was talking about her, pushed forward and dropped to her knees. She was shaking with fear and also amazement. The woman said, I touched you. Then she told him the reason why. And Jesus listened to her story. Jesus said, daughter, you are well because you dared to believe. You risked a lot. Go in peace and stay well. Just want to just bring some points around this incredible story. First of all, Jesus was on mission. He was on assignment. A guy called Jairus had come to Jesus and said, hey, I've got a daughter that's not well. I know if you can come to my home, you can heal her. This was a God assignment, right? This was a really good thing. Jesus agreed to Jairus and said, yep, I'm on, let's go. He was on mission. He was determined. The daughter was unwell. He was preparing himself on the journey. But not only that, the people, the crowd, were with him, buffeting him, wanting to see this miracle man do his miracle thing yet again. How often do we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life? Even when it's a good thing, a God thing, a family thing. Doing the thing that God's asked us to do. Can God stop us? Can God cut across our path, even if we're on his assignment? Can he still stop us? It's a good question. Me, on my walk, I want to put my head down and not notice them. I'm about to break my own record. And yet these people are there. The ones that I've been praying for. The ones that I want to connect with and relate with. Do I just stay on assignment or do I stop? The issue of this woman was immense. The issue of the ones that God is probably going to bring to you are going to be pretty big. This woman was bleeding for 12 years. She'd spent all her money on doctors and only got worse. Can you imagine the hopelessness that she feels? The one that God is probably going to lead you to is probably not going to be easy. I have a friend that comes and has been coming for a while, and now he has come into our life group. And he said to us last week or the week before, he said, you know, my private life, my business life is horrific. I'm in a lot of trauma, working things out. But when I come here, the peace of God settles me down. And I'm reminded there's something bigger than me. Isn't that amazing? We don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know the trauma and the drama and what's going on in their personal life. All I know is when he comes here, he feels a break from the turmoil, from the issues, from the drama that goes on that he has to deal with every day. Isn't that a wonderful thing? For a moment, he just feels the peace of God and the love of God. I'm telling you, if we're looking for the one, they're probably not going to be the easiest to deal with or to work out and help them on their journey of how to overcome really complex issues like this poor woman with the issue of blood. She had an internal dialogue like your one will have. She thought to herself, or she said to herself, so she's going to have this dialogue internally. If I come to this church, will they love me? Will they receive me? Big questions. She just said, if I can get to Jesus, will this miracle man give me the time? Will I be able to be healed? If only I can get to him. You know, your one has got internal dialogues going on. They often think, if I open up or ask a question, what are the most churches criticized for? Being judgmental. If I open up, if my number one, it's in my workplace or wherever I am, if I open up or ask a question about God, will I be judged? It's the things they're asking, the internal dialogue. Will they think well of me? Will they help me? I'm telling you, they've got an internal dialogue that's going on. They're unsure. They're anxious. There's insecurity there. What will happen? Will I receive what I'm looking for? Will I know what I'm looking for? The risk that this woman took, she had no right to be anywhere near these crowd of people. You see, back in those days, if the unclean, she was tagged as unclean, touched the clean, the clean becomes unclean. The good thing about Jesus is when the unclean touch the unclean becomes clean. He flips it. I know that's a lot of uncleans and cleans, but it's right. When the unclean touch the clean become unclean. But Jesus flips it, and the unclean touch the clean, and the unclean becomes clean. I got it right twice. But it's amazing. But her risk and your number one risk, your number ones, for them to risk asking you a question is big. They've got risks. Talk about Jesus leaving and risking the 99. I'm telling you, the one that's going to ask you a question is going to risk a lot. Will I find love here? Will I find peace here? I'm not sure. I've looked everywhere. It's a big risk. The vulnerability, the courage, the fears, her judgments, or the fact that she'll feel judged. I just want to break for a moment. If you're one of the ones listening online or in this church, keep asking courageous questions. Keep being bold and courageous. I met with a guy during the week who had some pretty big questions. And was sitting there trying to work things out. my encouragement to him, I love it. He's not afraid to ask some really tough questions. And I think we're going to have a lot of sessions to kind of work out what he really believes and thinks. And I'm okay with that. Time. Yep, it's going to cost me some time. I'm okay with that. If you're the one, keep asking tough questions. Keep being bold, courageous. The healing. Jesus realized and perceived in himself that something had been drawn from him. You know, I think the way I can kind of work it out in my mind, Jesus was on mission and there was people all around him and all of them were touching him, and but all of them touched the Son of Man. This woman touched the Son of God. Her faith drew something. That's in my mind how it works. Everyone just touched the Son of Man, the man Jesus. But this woman went with faith and drew out of the Son of God. And Jesus for a moment knew, you know when you have those kind of conversations and all of a sudden it's just interesting. You're having a conversation with someone that's a non-believer or an outsider, but all of a sudden in the conversation there's this interesting moment. Do you, anyone know what I'm talking about, or does anyone know what I'm talking about? Happens to me all the time. Wow, that's interesting. That's fascinating. See, this is the moment that we have to be really tuned in to what's happening, because those people in the interesting conversation have just opened a door that if I'm ready for it and willing, Jesus is going to come out. The Spirit of the living God is going to want to touch that person in a remarkable way, and I'm not even sure what it is yet. So Jesus stops. He realizes he was in the moment. He was very present, and he stops, he searches, he founds, and he connects. Remarkable. On mission, buffeting everywhere, he realizes that power has gone out from him. Somebody drew the healing nature of God out of him, and he stops. And everyone says, just keep going on mission. Who touched you? Well, everyone touched you. Jesus remains present in the moment until there's a deep connection. And I think for a moment, you know, the healing part, I want to just talk about the healing part. You know, I've got some dodgy knees. I'm going to, stand here and they're pretty buckled, right? You'll never unsee these again. Look how buckled they are. As much as I want these healed, and I'm up for a replacement for both of them, they're just old and manky, and I've just been bad with them. And I've made them work really hard for me. As much as I want these healed, my heart needs greater healing. It needs healing from sin, from sorrow, from sadness, from suffering. Can we put that slide up now? I think that most people need healing from the things they don't talk about. As much as I want my knees healed, you know there were 10 lepers that got healed? And only one came back to Jesus. The healing was done, but only one returned. Healing is fantastic, but I think the issues of the heart, the one that went back found an aspect of the Son of God, and that's what this woman found as well. I think today people need healing from the things we don't talk about. I think that's what Tim was trying to say to us. We need to speak. I met with a guy again during the week, and he talked and opened up his life and heart and poured out, and we sat there for a bit, and I get overwhelmed with, I don't know how to fix this guy, help this guy. But we just stayed in the moment. And sure enough, as we kept talking, there was an emotion. And of course, I just jumped on it because I know that that's the moment. I've trained myself to be ready for it because I know God wants to heal. I know he wants to reach. I know he wants to connect. So I just said to the guy, what's happening right now in your emotion? He stopped and he thought for a moment. And this was the answer. He said, I've just felt heard. Not just me. He just felt heard by God. Something changed in that moment. His emotions were there. The things he doesn't want to talk about, couldn't talk about. No one was listening. I just offered an ear. But things changed for him in a twinkle of an eye. He just felt heard. The amazing thing about this story, that not only did the woman receive healing physically, there was something else on offer. See, he could have just let that healing happen and kept going to Jairus' home. He knew that someone had got healed. Why didn't he just keep going? Why did he stop? Because even if he hadn't stopped, she's still healed, right? She's still got a healing. If she'd never had the conversation with Jesus, that healing, that 12 years of bleeding, that problem of being unclean and socially isolated and outcast and all of the issues that she had to deal with because of the problems that were going on in her life, why did Jesus stop and just let the healing be the healing? Because he stops and he has this connection with her. And what did he say to her? Daughter. See, this relationship with him was on offer. The healing was one thing. Amazing. Wonderful. That's going to affect her life forever. She no longer has to be an outcast and ceremonially unclean and all the labels that go along with that. But no one had ever spoken to her and said, daughter, an offer of a relationship with the Father. That was on offer. It wasn't just physical healing that Jesus was concerned about. When it says go in peace, it's the same Greek word in the healing sense of salvation. He said, your faith has healed you, but you've also got salvation. That go in peace, that was a greater, that's why he stopped. The salvation, the connection, the relationship with the Father was so much more important to Jesus than the healing. Does that make sense? So he stopped to have a conversation, to talk to her and listen to her, because he knew that there was something greater on offer. To me, the greatest healing is still salvation. Your soul, your heart. Like I said, my knees can get healed, but the pain and the sorrow and the sadness and the sin in my heart, it needs a savior far more than my knees need healing. I'll be grateful for it. The one, as we come to a conclusion, the one that might be on your radar are the ones that are going to draw something out of you. You know, you have Jesus on the inside, Christ on the inside. God loves you so much that he put his spirit on the inside of you. But again, we can just rest on our laurels and say, great, I got my ticket. But I'm telling you what I've realized and what I've understood, that the spirit on the inside of me wants out. Man, he wants out. He wants to touch, he wants to affect, he wants to heal, he wants to use me, little old me, to bring some type of incredible healing and restoration and salvation to others. And I guess my message this morning as we go through this series is look for the one that's going to be a little bit inconvenient, probably got some issues. But my great prayer for us as we finish up is that we are really, really mindful and present in the conversation and ask good questions. Like I said, the healing, I think, in today's society with isolation and loneliness is that people need healing from the things they don't talk about. Well, it's got to come through a conversation. It's got to come from stopping and looking and realizing, asking questions and thinking through and being very present and in the moment. Because I'm telling you, if we stay there long enough, this little door that Mark sang about, this little door will open up. And it's only sometimes really brief, and it's only a little bit sometimes. But if we're really present and we allow the Spirit of the living God to come out of us, something remarkable will happen. So with our one, we've got to be ready to slow down. We've got to be ready to have a conversation and keep in the conversation until there's a moment, an emotion. Something's on offer. And I'm telling you, they'll always be on offer. These are, when it is, then you know this is your one. I love my ones. I've got lots of ones. I'm like Simone. I've got too many. If anyone doesn't have one, come and see me. I'll give you some of mine. No, I won't. I probably won't. Because I love my ones. You pray for them, you'll love them. There'll be a love that just opens up like you've never known. It's remarkable. It says in, as I finish up, it says in Colossians, he has kept this secret from centuries and generations past, but now at last it has pleased him to tell it to those who love him and live for him and the riches of his glory. And his plans are for you Gentiles. Gentiles are the ones that were not Jews, outside of the Jewish faith. And this is the secret, that Christ in your heart is the hope of glory. This woman was hopeless. But I want to encourage you today that Christ is in you and he is the hope for those that have no hope. To love them, to receive them, to be an instrument of God so their healing can happen. And it goes on to says, so that everywhere we go, we talk about Christ. We talk about him. To all who will listen, gently warning them, gently warning them, and teaching them as well as we know how. We want to be able to present each one to God perfect because of what Christ has done for each of them, not just you, but for them as well. This is my work, Paul says, and I can do it only because Christ's mighty energy is at work within me. Can we just stand up this morning, and I want to pray for us. I want you to open your hands up as Mark encourages us today. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are a temple that God loves you so much that he puts his Spirit on the inside of you. But that Spirit is wanting out. He wants out. He wants in and he wants out. To reach others with the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just come before you, Lord God. We thank you that the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that power lives on the inside of us. But Lord God, we want to not be Christians that rest on our laurels, got our golden ticket, don't care about the one. We don't want to be the fat sheep of Israel that Ezekiel talked about. I pray today that we would be like David. That if there's a sheep in trouble, a sheep with issues, that we would notice them and be present with them and be mindful of them. We would protect them and connect with them. This woman was frightened. The spotlight was on her. She was incredibly courageous and risked everything just to ask a question, just to touch him who saves. Lord, we want to be shepherds that protect. That lead others back to you, back to the Father, to say, daughter, son, salvation has come to you today. We would be the ones that enter into conversations that for majority of isolated people don't talk about the things they need to talk about. But we would gently, safely create an environment like Jesus did, a space for them to enter into, that they would talk openly, and we would be very mindful and very present and allow the Spirit of the living God out to touch them and heal them for the glory of the Father and the glory of the Son and the glory of the Spirit that's reaching out to them. Lord, we commit this, Lord God. Help us, teach us to be mindful and present. And Lord, for those that are hearing this and maybe they're the ones, I pray they would have incredible courage to go through crowds, to find a shepherd that will be mindful and hear and listen and speak the very heart of God. That healing would come, and restoration would come, and salvation would come. And Lord, there'd be so many testimonies of this in Discover Church and the churches around Frankston, Lord God. So we just commit this to you as we move through this series of The One, Lord God. Help us to strategize and get a heart for these beautiful people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.